wall of Canada, I don't
know. I mean, I can fix a hell of a lot. If there's anything there, to begin with.
Hey, so far it looks like these are the folks that are showing up. This is the shots we have.
You're good, man.
Okay, I'm just...
I think I'm going to go have a cigarette, go around here, and we'll see you later. Look at you.
Sounds good. If you don't want to have to come back,
I
can...
You look like a Muslim.
Thank you. If you don't have to, if you don't want to come back, I can swing by with your tripod and stuff afterwards. Okay.
The reason I mentioned about that...
It's an hour, right?
Yeah.
Start, when do you start?
In 2 minutes, in less than 1 minute.
9:15.
Yeah.
All right. If you turn right, we
thank you, dude. Yeah, you know it.
Introduce yourself. Who is the guy that the Barat guy did? Ali G. Ali G was before
we come into the park and turn.
Good morning.
You keep going towards the back.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm Scott. Are you here for our meeting? Oh, excellent. Take a seat anywhere. If you haven't been here before, Robert, what I do, I record this for posterity. I broadcast it live on the internet so folks that can't be with us can see what we're doing. So that's why there's a couple cameras around us. And just so you're not surprised if somebody later says, hey, Robert, I saw you online.
Oh, right along the road? Oh, okay.
And that canopy that's the first one.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys, I think we're going to get started here. This is the time period. I'm going to switch over here. Hello, world.
Good morning.
This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson, and this is our first meeting of the 2018-2019 season. And it's glad to see you guys are back here with us. This is awesome.
Good to be back.
So I have come back, obviously, from past experiences. You know, I have come back with stories of different tech experiences, but I really have kind of taken a hiatus from tech. I took it as an opportunity to take a break, and I probably got back into paying attention to the news about the time Apple started doing its announcements. And so I've got some Apple information I thought you guys might find interesting, but I also have a couple other topics too. But I thought I would start by just asking you guys if you have any new hardware or software or services. Hey, James is here. We just started. We decided to be in the air conditioning since we're a small group. Grab a seat somewhere.
Somebody sitting there?
Go ahead.
Whose copy is this? Is that yours, Scott?
That is mine. I guess it didn't make it all the way down here.
I'll just slide that copy down.
All right, now that James is here, and I actually did hit the streaming button, I'm going to say, welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club again, because it was missed on the stream. And this is our first meeting of 2018-2019, and this is more people than I was expecting for as hot as it is out there.
Yeah, it's kind of sweaty out there.
I've been back for 4 days, 5 days, and I can't seem to leave my house, because I'm Alaskan, and I've never felt more like a polar bear than coming back here. I like your shirt.
I wore it on my review.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, I'm a well-known Star Wars fan.
Oh, you are? Okay. I remember that.
Wow.
Say that again.
That was a rhetorical.
Unfortunately, James's shirt can't be seen on any of our cameras. You're going to have to stand up like this at some point at one of our cameras. Where'd the other camera go? Oh, they're both over there. Well, that's a pretty good shot. That's great. So we stream this online. There you go. Awesome. We stream this online as live video on YouTube, and we also do a live audio from the website, the San Carlos Computer Club, the sccclub.org. And I also post things at that website, tech news that I find interesting or things related to our club. And my friend Richard put together a couple, I guess you'd call them like promo videos of members of the club saying nice things about us. And I posted those on YouTube, and you can find links to that on sccclub.org. If you're interested in seeing what some of our members have said about us.
That's the fake news station.
That's the fake tech news. That's right. Well, what makes it fake news is I won't post any bad things said about us. It's only going to be good stuff.
No, that's not it. What's our...
Sagan.
What's our...
website?
Yeah.
sccclub.org.
Oh, club.
sccclub.org. Wow, I'm really disappointed because this is supposed to be synchronizing the topics I brought with me. I may have to work off my phone.
Hold on.
So, did you guys see the Apple release? Or
no, I was gonna say I
you got
cool.
Yeah.
Did you some pretty cool stuff?
Did you get any new hardware, services, software this year or this summer?
Yeah, the one that they just the update date that they just did. You can has a measuring tool, so you can measure physically measure things.
You're talking about the iPhone,
iPad,
the iPad.
But yeah, I'm sure it's probably the same.
Yeah, they were showing that off at the Apple pretty event, cool. where the iPhone you could take, it was augmented reality they were showing off, and you could do something like look at a table, and then you could specify points to be measured. So you could specify this corner and that corner, and then on the screen it would tell you how long that is.
Interesting.
Oh.
Put the plus on a like on a physical object, press the button.
So, okay. Let's continue to move iPad.
It'll measure it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty accurate.
Is that an Apple?
Now, isn't that Apple software? This must be is that Apple software?
Yep, it's the one just
the one that just
3 days ago.
Oh wow. Okay, I can't make it work.
So it's a software thing, not a hardware thing.
Yeah, software, but it's using new software for the old hardware.
Apple was pretty cool in this last release. There was a bunch of stuff that they were releasing that was going to be compatible with all their old equipment. The Apple Watch specifically, but stuff like this as well.
So I got away from Apple a long time ago because problems proprietary. I was buying music. I lost the music. All this other stuff. But that's a long time ago. How do they compare with the? There's Apple and there's
Microsoft. Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon.
No, I'm not talking about
Android.
Oh, okay. Android. Yeah, Google.
So how does that shape up today? Is Android still a better system? Is it a better system?
Wow. Yeah, we could spend a couple of computer clubs talking about the nuances between Apple and Android. As far as better goes, it's pretty subjective.
It's like asking a Democrat if the Republicans are better.
Exactly.
All right.
I mean, I enjoy both platforms.
There's no answer, right?
Yeah.
No.
You know what some of my answers to these kinds of questions are, and my folks are kind of trying to balance this question right now. Apple has a reputation for privacy, whereas Android absolutely does not. It has a reputation for getting compromised left and right.
No, it's not.
So if privacy is a concern of yours, that might draw you over into the Apple camp. For years, the Apple phones were considered the better cameras until about 6 months ago when Google put out the Pixel 2. And the Pixel 2 is considered the best smartphone camera on the market right now. Oh, as far as tablets go. Well, that gets even weirder then. Because when you get into the tablet markets, you're looking at Samsung Android tablets, you're looking at iPhone or iPad iOS tablets, and you're looking at Microsoft Surface tablets running Windows 10. And so each one of them has their own characteristics that make them more appealing. One of the things about Apple that's very clear, especially every year after year it's become more and more clear, is that device typically works. There's typically not a reason to... Android, I spend a lot of time finding out why something's not working.
Yeah.
And trying to resolve that issue of why that's not working. On the Apple device, that's not typically the case. You install an app, you use it, If you have a problem with that app, you uninstall it, you reinstall it, the problem's gone. It's just very much in an Apple flavor. There's less customizing in an Apple world. But there's more now with the latest versions of iOS, but it doesn't compare to Android. Android just has insane, limitless amounts of customization. So if you're kind of a tweaker, a hacker with your equipment, Android's very appealing. Another thing, going back to phones, you said specifically tablets, but going back to phones, talking about it as a platform, I'm very happy with a $150 iPhone or Android phone. The latest iPhones are starting at $1,000. So if you're on a budget, it's hard to think seriously about an iPhone. Something we should talk about, and we'll probably talk more about it throughout this season, is this Apple Watch is worth looking at. This is the first Apple Watch that I'm taking very seriously. But it's hard, the smartwatch. But it's hard to take it seriously if you don't have an iPhone right next to it. And it doesn't matter whether it makes its own phone calls. What matters is administering the watch. And it is going to be 10 times easier if you have an iDevice next to you than an Android device. There are going to be features that you're going to be left out of because you're not in that ecosystem with the watch. And still, this watch, I really feel like, and it's one of my topics, is that this Series 4 makes a lot of sense for me, makes a lot of sense for you folks, it makes a lot of sense for my parents. And the thing that screws that up is not a lot of us are using iPhones right now. But this watch is IP68 waterproof. You are encouraged to swim with it. It's nice. They've been able to put a bigger screen in the exact same footprint, so it's actually slightly thinner than the previous iWatch. I'm going to do that. As we talk, I will continue to call it the iWatch because I'm 48 years old, and that's the name it should have had. But I mean the Apple Watch when I say it. So it's just a hair thinner than what's out right now, but you probably won't notice a difference. Most of the reviewers are saying they don't notice a difference in thin or weight. But the screen is 30 to 32% bigger than the previous screen. That means it's easier to look at and more information can get on it, and it takes up no extra space on your wrist. That what they've included and the new Apple Watch is the only one I've seen them talk about as being able to detect in real time a low heartbeat. But they have high heartbeat detection across all their Apple Watches. And so while you're wearing the watch in real time, it will give you a warning if your heartbeat has gone too high or too low, out of characteristics, out of what's considered the norm. Just to kind of give you a little, hey, did you know you're sitting here watching TV and you're beating at 190 beats a minute? Maybe you should be concerned about your heart. Maybe you should go just get your doctor to check you out. And that's happening in real time all the time. And it's available on all the watches.
Must be this one. Apple Watch 4?
Yep, the Series 4. They're also released an EKG on this watch. Now, the EKG is going to be available across all the Apple Watches to date. But they are saying the sensors on the newest one are the most accurate sensors ever. Now, they say that about all their products. It's the most beautiful phone we've ever made. Right? So, take that with a grain of salt. Foxconn in China. But they do have a built-in EKG now that you can, if you feel like you're experiencing something and you want to share it, you hit a button, it takes an EKG, turns it into a PDF, you're able to send that to your doctor. Since Series 3, you've been able to make phone calls with it. So you can get cell service for the base unit. The base unit watches are like $399 and $499. The $499 makes cell phone calls, receives cell phone calls.
Yeah,
it does.
But don't you have to have your phone by to make the phone calls?
No.
Because you know the one that they came out with on your arm? You have to have your phone by it in order to make the calls.
So at Series 3, they released a GMS version, an LTE version of the watch. And this is an improvement on the Series 3.
So could you have your Mexican service on it?
This is what we're waiting to find out, because I have not heard a carrier describe how you buy this service. But I would bet you have to go to Telcel and get a special plan that couples your phone number on both devices. And if they don't offer that, then you're probably buying cell service. This is my speculation, because I haven't heard a carrier talk about this yet. Now, what's definitely going to happen in the United States is places like Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they're going to be selling these packages. Right? You're going to be able to walk in. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, you can get the new phone and the new watch discounted $300, and you'll be able to use your cell phone number on both of them. And they'll have, but who knows what Telcel's going to do, and we're just going to have to wait and find out. I haven't seen any promotions.
Well, it would pay to go down and talk to them if you're in the market, right?
Yeah, I think it would. And they've just been released, so I would imagine that Telcel is going to have a promo that's coming out pretty soon that will include that kind of stuff. If they put together a plan where you can spread it across two devices, then I can imagine that that will be available regardless of where you get your devices. So if you bought it in the United States, you could bring it down here. But all of this is speculation. I haven't read anything yet about it.
Good information.
They also, and as I'm saying these, bit by bit you start to see how it clicks in to really making sense. And let me add another piece to it. They've added fall detection. So this is instead of your emergency care wrist bracelet, you can set up, Linda, you can set up fall detection, and you can set up a list of contacts to be contacted and an emergency services if you've fallen and not replied to the message on the screen of your phone. If you've fallen over and you're not able to say, I'm okay, then a set period of time that you set, like say in 30 minutes, it'll start sending out phone calls to your next of kin, to your emergency services.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
That's right.
But that's it.
So you're going to be able to put one of those services in there, like, you know, how everybody wears the neck thing?
That's right.
Yeah, but that's you've got to pay for that service.
I wonder if it was, if it's the jolt, like if you were, you know what I mean, if it's the quick jolt.
Yeah, well, it has both accelerometers and GPS in it, I suspect.
Like an accident, like a car accident.
Do you know what? Yeah, like a car accident would be a great one, yeah. If you think about it, we have accelerometers in certain hard drives now, so that if they drop at a certain velocity, they know they're going to hit the floor, and so they move the head to a parked position. And so I imagine it's that same kind of technology. That probably would work.
Because I hate cell phones.
Yeah.
I hate carrying cell phones. I just don't like carrying them. You know, and it's like, and they're too small for them. I like the size of the iPad to be able to read everything.
Sure, yeah. And the iPad, I mean, one of the beauties of that is it's the size of a magazine or a size of a book.
Has an iPad ever been a telephone? Yes.
Well, yeah, there hasn't been specific phones like cell service, but you could use Skype or you could use Magic Jack or Vonage on it.
They had some that had the little.
You can use FaceTime.
The thing inside.
You're talking about like an LTE SIM,
yeah,
like from your cell phone, but I think that provides you with data. And then your call experience doesn't exist on the pad. That actual phone calls would have to be through a third-party application or FaceTime.
Well,
yeah.
I just got the stick from Telcel.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's an internet stick, so I can put it in my tablet.
Oh, it's a USB Wi-Fi.
USB Wi-Fi stick.
For data, okay.
It's for data.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense.
It was below $20 for the stick.
It does.
You have to buy the reason I got it was you could
the firewire,
buy
yeah. the or lightning bolt.
The minutes. The only problem when you buy the minutes and you don't
Everything has to go.
Yeah.
Then you got, if you go to Oxel by the minutes, you got to call in to Telcel.
Tell them
that you bought the minutes. If you go to Telcel by the minutes, you don't have that problem.
Can I give you just a couple other things with the watch? Because I think we'll be talking about the watch all this season. I think I'm going to figure out there's heart problems in my family. And so the idea that there's an active real-time heart monitor on you all the time, just making you aware, I mean, it is FDA approved, but it's not the highest level like a heart monitor would be. It's more...
Did your father get a pacemaker?
No, he's had angio stents. He's had a double bypass. He's had that kind of stuff. So I'm concerned about that kind of stuff all the time. So I think this is really making sense to me. I can put it on my wrist. I can kiteboard with it. It can alert me to any weird, like AFib and problems that I might have throughout the day. But it also includes podcasts. It includes Apple Music. It has Bluetooth, so you can Bluetooth it with headsets. With the cell, with the entertainment, with the waterproofing, I think you can walk out of the house and forget your cell phone and not feel like you have to go back in the house and get your cell phone. You can just keep going. And one last thing I wanted to mention about this. I learned this summer.
This version starts at
$399. Is that... I think you need to have a phone or a tablet for it.
Well, with the phone, without the phone, you may as well not have it, right?
I think that it would probably end up being so complicated to administer the device that it wouldn't be a good experience. I think Apple's done that intentionally.
This is GPS on. Oh, here's the cellular option.
They might make it so if you have a laptop and a computer that there's something.
I want a computer that knows what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. You probably could use the iPad, but there's probably going to be something in the phone. Hey, I just want to mention one last thing. Have you guys heard of the face? The apps that are on the Apple Watch, Linda. Linda, have you heard what they call the apps that go on the Apple Watch?
I don't know anything about Apple.
They call them complications. That's every tech person I know has laughed at this name. Like, why did they? Since Series 1, they called them complications. Like, why would you put that in a product? Right? I mean, the last thing I want is something complicated on my wrist. I want easy stuff on my wrist, right? Well, it turns out the term complication is from the watch genre. It is a term that we've used for over 100 years to describe the things like the stopwatch off to the side, the barometer, the moon and the sun. They've always been called complications. And I didn't realize that till this summer that Apple adapted that from that watch culture. So anybody looking for a fine watch knows exactly what complications mean.
Well, you know, I think about this, and this is one thing I've learned from playing words with friends, is the amount of words that we don't use and come up, because they have this feature that after you do the word, you can click on this little feature, see, and it'll tell you what the better word was. You could have gotten more points from it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And a lot of the words... Some of the words I've never even heard of. Anyway, this is a question for here. He's reading these features. This says digital crown haptic feedback.
Oh, that is new.
What is that?
Okay, so haptic feedback in whatever product we're talking about is the ability for them to create a vibration that is associated with whatever movement you're having. So it might be, you may have already experienced this on some of your cell phones. You have this soft screen keyboard. It's an on-screen keyboard.
Right.
But when you hit a key, your phone might vibrate a little bit in your hand to give you the indicator that you've hit a key. That's haptic feedback. It's trying to trick your senses into thinking it's had a physical response. Like a physical key press. And so on that digital crown, it's being used for scrolling through content on the screen, and as you roll the crown, it bumps. So you feel this bump on each scroll line.
this number
of players. Right?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is a refining of this product. It really is kind of dialing in all these little things that make it a much tighter product. Hey, I wanted to mention the complication. The reason I mentioned the complications is one of the new things it's bringing is a watch face that you can set up yourself, very similar to how you set up your Android home screen, where you can have the time, but then you can pick what complications you want to have appear on your, so how many steps that you've done that day, what your heart rate is, maybe your calorie count, maybe
your
the
phone.
Very much like your phone, yeah, but you can have it all on your wrist.
Oh, yeah.
Text message preview.
What does LTE mean exactly?
You mean what's the acronym stand for, or what it's referring to?
Yeah.
Well,
both. Yeah? I don't remember what the acronym is, but
well,
it's 4G.
You can order it with two different size screens.
Mm-hmm. LTE is cell.
With or without LTE.
LTE is cell, so you make phone calls.
Service.
Yeah.
Oh, cell. I can't say that.
Yeah.
So they're showing that...
Well, what they're saying by LTE is it's not going to work in an edge, like an old 2G cell phone pocket. It means, like, if you go over to Mulegé, there's a good chance it's not going to work. Because they haven't updated their cell. And I'm speculating.
So
I've been in Mulegé forever.
With, here's what I want to see. It says it's $499 with cellular option.
Yeah, that's the one I want. That's the one I want. They have a, I think it's a $999, is that right? Which is stainless steel.
Oh, we didn't get that far. We're just looking at the
And they've got a $1599.
Oh, jeez.
And it all three of these watches are the same product. The difference is the finish. Yeah, and in some cases, the box that they come in. They have a box with what's the brand? You'll say, is it Aramis? I think it's Aramis. And they've got custom band, a custom color. They've got a box with some custom features in it, and they're charging $15.99 for it. So I would say, if you have any interest in this watch, look at the first option and forget the other options. They're trying to get you with shiny, bright colored things.
Well, I noticed that the watch here, the $499, looks like it has like a cloth rope.
That's right. It comes with a...
So if you're talking about stainless steel, that means the band's going to be stainless steel.
No,
so that's a lot
not necessarily. The face is stainless steel. Oh. I think the stainless steel actually comes with some generic band as well.
Really?
I think
is it
going
to be a metal band?
I don't... You can look there, but from what I saw, it didn't look that way to me.
Probably endless options. They'll probably have leather.
Right. Well, if you go into an Apple store right now, the whole front of the Apple store is like a watch band store.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? I mean, it's just rack after rack after rack.
Watch bands you can buy for it?
That's right. That's what they're selling. They're
for you, right?
Well, you know, did you pay attention to the Series 1 when they first released the Apple Watch? They had gold-plated one. That was, what was it? It was like $10,000? It was like, yeah, special edition, they called it.
Probably sold a bunch.
Well, they probably sold as many as they made.
Yeah.
I don't think they made a lot, but I think they did. They sold them to, you know, people like Lil Wayne. And
that hardware thing is going to be, I think it's going to be really nice.
I think the waterproofing, the heart rate, the bigger screen, I think those are all real... The phone calls.
So how often do they come up with a new watch?
Well, when they had that $10,000 watch, that's what everybody asked. It's like, why would you pay $10,000 for a watch that's going to be out of date in 6 months? Well, they waited 2 years, but then they put out another one, and now they're putting out a watch like every year.
There's people that just like to spend money.
This is off the Apple subject.
I hate those people. You're talking about people that just have $1,000? Just, hey, you know what? I got a scratch on mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Linda. Go ahead.
No, this is off the Apple, but does anybody have Android 8.1? Because
no.
My tablet went to Android 8.1.
It did.
And I had a call.
This is Oreo you're talking about.
Yeah, I had a call into Samsung. We redid the phones. We redid the tablet. But I still have hang-ups. I mean, where the touch isn't right. The web page hangs up.
Is it the official release for your phone, for your hardware? It's the
It came on overnight. Yeah, and so I had a problem, so I called Samsung. They said, "Well, it doesn't appear when they look. They can see everything on your phone, on your tablet." He goes, "Well, it doesn't appear it loaded correctly."
That's odd.
So we reloaded the whole thing. Then it was acting correct, but sometimes it just, when you touch it, it doesn't go. You have to keep going like this to make it go.
Have you tried doing a factory reset again?
No, I haven't.
Because I would do that definitely.
Try and do a factory reset again.
Yeah, just flash it to zero, and set it up like a brand new phone.
Get rid of everything. So I should write everything down.
Yeah, so no, you should make a backup of anything.
Well,
they
back up everything. Should I try to back up everything on a stick?
I mean,
because I have the back, you know, the Samsung.
The Samsung backup. Have you been satisfied with that? Has that been very effective for you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I use the Huawei backup, and I'm satisfied with everything except that it forgets things like my background picture. And so, like, I have to, there's a certain number of things I have to go, after I restore from the backup, I have to go and reset a number of things to get it back the way my phone was. But it is probably about 85% what my phone was before after I restore. And so I always make a backup before I do a software update. And then if things go crazy, I just factory reset it to zero, set it up, install the backup software, and restore from backup.
So maybe I should just try to back it up on a stick and then completely wipe it like I was giving it to somebody else.
That's what I think. I think before you think you have any kind of real problem, that's what you should do. And then if as a fresh device it's having the same problems, then you got to talk to Samsung again because they've done something wrong.
Wait, you
could insist on going rolling back because this is screwed up.
I don't know if they let you roll it back. Well, they have to roll it back.
Yeah, they're going to have to help you roll it back. I mean, you can roll it back on your own. It is possible to roll it back. Uh-huh. But if they're getting complaints like this from you, they're going to have to make the determination that either you've broken your hardware, which should not have happened from their update. You physically broke it in the midst of all this, or their update is having a problem and you want to go back to your original software so you don't have this problem. And so they're going to have to make that determination. And if it is determined that you need to roll back, then they should help you do it. Yeah.
So I have a thing from June 14th, 2018. This Friday, Telcel and AT&T start selling the watch version.
Oh, excellent.
So far, none of the operators offers hiring the service in corporate plans or for prepaid users.
Yep.
But anyway, obviously, they're in the sale was involved.
Yeah, that was June 14th.
Awesome. Well, they've had the Series 3 watch on the market for a long time now. So it could be that this announcement is getting geared up towards this 4 because they're expecting a larger market share to all of a sudden appear.
Yeah.
Well, I like the price point. I've been looking at activity trackers and heart monitors for a number of years now, and I've tried it. I was very happy with the Garmin, even though the Garmin still was lacking. And I keep waiting for something better to come out at a better price point. The Apple Watch was never on my list until the last release, and it was still too expensive for what it was, for what I would get out of it. And this is the first one where that price point makes sense to me, and all the features that come with it make sense.
Well, it seems like with Apple, and that's one of the things that got away from Apple a long, long time ago, is everything is connected to each other and not to Android. It's a lot like Apple computers are not generic with all the other, you know, IBM-based stuff. Is it still the same?
Well, we don't use computers in a way that's a big deal anymore. I mean, there was a time when, like, we would be working on a document here and need to get it over there. And that was more difficult if you were in an Apple world.
So is the, if well, here's a better way to question it. Is the Apple world proprietary, or does it interface with Android also?
Yeah, they're both proprietary.
Okay.
Yeah. The I mean, I guess what it is you can get into services and technologies in an Apple world that don't translate into a Google world or a Microsoft world. So if you want to have those same experiences, you have to recreate them in a completely different way.
So Google is not part of the Apple... So Google is not part of Apple.
Well, you can take advantage... Like, they all make apps for each other. So Google has apps on an iPhone. Google has apps in a Macintosh computer, and undoubtedly they'll have apps, if they don't already, on the Apple Watch, because they are platforms and there are market shares and they want to be everywhere. And Microsoft's the same way. Microsoft's gotten really good at being all over Apple and all over Android, even though Windows is there.
So if a person wanted to keep current in technology, or let's say as far as hardware is concerned, you know, things coming up, what's the time frame? Year, two, five? I mean, what do you think the time frame is that you have to upgrade? Like a car, you know, safety features, all this other stuff.
You know, Irving, we've gotten to a point where that is... That's difficult to take serious anymore. I think there's a better chance your device is going to break before you need to upgrade it. I think that's really where we've gotten to a planned obsolescence point in history. I think that, well, I'll give you a good example of Wi-Fi routers. A few years back, probably 5 years ago, we had the security we needed, the performance we needed, the reliability we needed from a Wi-Fi router. It worked perfectly. There's nothing wrong with it. No reason to upgrade it. But what happened in the marketplace is you got Wi-Fi. And your neighbor got Wi-Fi. And the hotel down the street got Wi-Fi. And the restaurant around the corner got Wi-Fi. And your other neighbors got Wi-Fi. And pretty soon your Wi-Fi hotspot is sitting in the midst of a dozen hotspots. And because of the nature of how radio works, they're all competing with each other. Now your Wi-Fi experience has been diminished because it spends the majority of its time correcting errors from conflicts from all this other Wi-Fi around it than it spends trying to provide you with the best internet connection. So nothing wrong with your equipment, still does the job it was always intended to do, but because of where we are in technology, you got to upgrade that Wi-Fi.
So the new upgrade will be
the newer equipment. Faster processors, more radios, can deal with conflicts quicker, has more range, more robust. So you upgrade to stay exactly where you are.
Got it.
That's like a bed mill.
Yeah.
As fast as you want, you're not going anywhere.
The upgrade treadmill, that's probably a good analogy.
Well, I can tell that this summer... Okay, I have an extender in the living room so I can have my IPTV and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because the IPTV, they come with a little antenna on them, but unless you are in direct sight line and about 3 feet away, you can't get it. You got to plug in.
Which is not really a problem in an American-built house with drywall and 2x4s, but is always a problem in this country with cement rebar.
You have to have an extender.
Yeah.
But the internet has been going down so low...
In your area?
...that I lose... Yeah, you lose the communication with the extender. And sometimes I have to, because I have a little cabinet and I've got the extender and all that in there, and the IPTV box and everything in there, I have to pull the extender out and put it up on top, because it's not strong enough picking it up, and it's only down in the bedroom maybe, 30 feet?
Yeah, you can't get it more central? Or maybe more central isn't, maybe it's, like I had a situation in one guy's house, where there is this narrow hallway.
Uh-huh.
But if you got in the hallway, you could see the Wi-Fi access point.
Uh-huh.
If you put the extender off set from the hallway, it barely functioned. But if you could get it in the hallway, then it was an amazing Wi-Fi connection.
Well, I was trying to avoid bringing it out in the living room because everything's so messy.
Euros. The Euros. I swear by them.
Yeah.
That technology is amazing, this mesh technology. Stick one in the hallway, stick one in the guest room, all of a sudden you've got robust Wi-Fi everywhere.
Remember when we tried to get the plugins and I wound up giving them to...
That's not mesh networking, though.
That's not the same as mesh network.
Yeah, E-R-O-S, Euros. And
they're expensive.
Is that that gizmo that you brought in your past last year?
Yeah.
But it was amazing performance. Yeah. I mean, it was like having a cable connected to the computer, and we were three rooms down. It was. They are obviously using a proprietary antenna array and their own wireless technology, and they're rebroadcasting access wherever those beacons are. But the beacons talking to the main base station are using their own proprietary formula, and that's not getting disrupted by your neighbor's Wi-Fis or cell phone signals or any of that other garbage that can affect your Wi-Fi.
So you think it's worth it to spend the money on it?
I do. I think that price, when you price it up, like look in the traditional way you've been doing it and the way I've done it in the past, where you got the main router, you want a decent router, so you're going to spend $80 to $120 for a decent router.
I have a Buffalo router.
Then you're going to get access points wherever you have weak spots. You're going to have extenders in those weak spots. Those extenders are, they're from $40 to $80 each.
Correct.
So you very quickly get up to that almost $300 that's going to cost the Euro and the two beacons.
But none of that up to your internet speed, though. If you're plugged into 5 megabytes, that thing is not going to...
Absolutely. If you're plugged into 5 megabytes, you're only going to go as fast as what's coming and going to the house.
See, that's what's wrong in the country club.
Yeah,
and they're not told us they're not going to up it.
But wait a second. If that's your problem, then the extender doesn't matter. Now, you were describing extender problem. And this is the solution for the extender problem. This won't fix your internet provider problem.
Right.
But this will fix your extender problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so
what's cool about...
You had that one in the living room.
What's cool about, like, take the hallway, the narrow hallway example, right? Mm-hmm. So what's cool about the way a mesh network works is, say down at the end of the hallway you have the main base station plugged into your internet.
Okay.
Same thing. You get offset and you can't get internet. So you put one in the hallway. Now you've got internet flowing down the hallway. You got a guest room down the hallway to the right, and that's got a SAD connection. So you put one in there.
Uh-huh.
So you're over on the other side, and you can see the guest bedroom through a window, but you can't see the hallway.
Okay.
The way a mesh network works is going to the hallway from where you are could be a lousy connection because there's cement and rebar in between you and the hallway. But you can see through your window to the guest bedroom's window. And that's a much better connection. Because that's a much better connection, these automatically will route your data through the window to the one in the guest bedroom, down the hallway to the main base station.
Does glass have any effect?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's better. If you have... If there's glass, it has almost no effect on your connection.
So
it's better than a cement wall.
Do we really only need... Okay.
Now, the point I'm trying to make is that if your fastest connection isn't to the base station, but it's to an extender through another extender through a base station, it will automatically do that. Instead of trying to connect here, it'll do this because it made the calculation. And it'll do that on the fly. Maybe you're wandering around... And every so often you hit a point where the fastest connection is straight to the base station. Well, that's the way it sends the data. Dave, you follow what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, I have an older Telmex router.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be worth it to take it in and get a new one? I know they have some new ones.
Does it
really matter?
Yeah.
And number two, if I got that Eros, would I be getting rid of my Buffalo router that's attached to my Telmex?
Okay, so First of all, if you were going to go with a mesh network like I'm describing, then all you need is access to internet, which means the most basic Telmex modem is going to feed this base station.
Okay, so I'd be fine with the modem I have.
That's right, and you could get into it. I know you have the skills to get into it and shut off all the stuff that would make it insecure, like another Wi-Fi. You don't need the extra infinity of Wi-Fi pocket, so I would turn it off.
I don't know how to do that.
In fact, your router might even have a button on the side to turn off the Wi-Fi, depending on what model you have. But
I
would
have an old one.
Yeah, I would just turn off anything that that's extraneous.
So I could get rid of the Buffalo router.
And then here's the other thing, is that there's no reason you can't run these technologies in parallel. You could leave your Buffalo router connected to your Infinitum and add the Eero and its beacons and take advantage of all of that. What's important to know is that the Buffalo won't work with the Eeros. So you're either on one or the other. But you can have both. It's just a matter of which one are you connected to. If you follow what I mean.
You just like you do now. You've got the Buffalo router in the bedroom by the Telmex, and you've got the bridge out in the living room.
Not like you're doing now. Because bridge has to go back to the Buffalo. It has to, you have to maintain a good connection between those. That bridge also uses traditional Wi-Fi technology as we know it.
Okay.
And so that's susceptible to interference from other radio waves in your area, other Wi-Fis that are outside or cell networks or broadcasts. All affect the quality of that transmission.
Okay.
The Eero uses its own proprietary network protocol to talk between.
So just get rid of that and get the Eero.
Yeah, you could get rid of it all. All you need is a basic
Telmex router
and plug it into the Eero. And then if you find there's another area on your property that needs better Wi-Fi, you just buy another beacon and put it in that area.
They come with two beacons, the main beacon and the.
Yeah, well, the package that I worked with came with two beacons. Came with the base station and two beacons.
EROS, right?
Yeah, EROS.
EROS.
But I really do think the price is worth it. The problem, Linda, is that if you're getting less than 5 megabits a second out of Telmex, you're still going to be disappointed with what's going on. You're just not going to have the problem you're having with the extender. You're not going to have the extender problem. But you're still going to be disappointed because your internet speed is lacking.
As soon as you try to fire up two gadgets, you got a problem.
So what's the best internet? Is it Telmex or is there other sources?
Yeah, there is few sources. There's Telmex, Megacable, the cell phone company, and the local Wi-Fi provider, the X-Pro.
What's the best?
Well, the best depends on what your circumstances are. Where you're located, how long you're here.
Vista Marina.
You're in Vista Marina. Vista Marina is the relatively new development above Marina Real.
Yeah.
So they have fiber optics in there from Telmex. I do not believe cable's available. So fiber optics is your best option. Yeah.
What is the speed?
I was hoping you could tell me there's something better.
Yeah. Fiber optics is your best option in that area. And it's a really decent price, too, for what fiber optics is.
Megacable advertises on fiber optics.
Yeah, that's
okay. Sagan?
But it's like...
Well, like in here,
I love Megacable.
They have fiber optics, and it goes up to like 40 megabits a second at times. Yeah. I think they do 10 to 20, 20 to 40, and then 100 plus.
How do I get 250? What do they do in Canada if we're not doing
here? Oh, they're just not offering it here. No, they just have to have the right equipment.
It's available if they made it available.
Fiber is amazing.
One Eero plus two
gigabits. They could be offering us 10 gigabit connections through fiber if they wanted to.
I don't have 3,000.
But what, Gary, to answer your question, what you got to understand is how they put together their infrastructure. And so... That may be possible where you are, but the way Telmex is doing it, they're not offering that. The potential of fiber could go up to 10 gigabits a second, but because they have to use these switches, these remote switches. You may have fiber, but there's a limit on how much potential is at that central area, and then that's spread out to all their customers. And so you get caught up in that.
What would you have to do to require 250 gigs coming at you, or leaving? Up or down at 250. What kind of a server? What kind of a system would you need that would actually?
I don't think you can get 250 gigabytes right now through fiber. I think you're thinking 250 megabytes.
Megabytes.
Yeah, megabytes is what you're probably thinking. And
it's up and down. It's not slower going out than it is coming in.
Right, right. It's symmetric. It's called symmetric when they do that.
Scott, I have a question.
Yeah, which is common with fiber. Yeah.
Okay. So in my bedroom, to improve my internet.
Wait. This is Computer Club. I don't know what you need improvements in your bedroom for, but.
Come on, recommend
something. Anyway. So rather than rely on Wi-Fi, what I did is I had Expo run a wire from my modem in my,
the one that's receiving X-Pro's right. signal.
We ran it over the roof into my bedroom down.
Okay, so you have a physical connection. Yeah.
From that box, I'm plugged into, let's say, my IPTV plug.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that a Wi-Fi connection or is that an Ethernet connection?
Well, in your case, it's virtually both. Because you're getting Wi-Fi from X-Pro. That's how you get your internet connection. So that Wi-Fi into your house from X-Pro is susceptible to all the same kind of interference as Wi-Fi could have. Oh, you said X-Pro.
No, X-Pro installed.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that. Okay. So that's an Ethernet connection.
That's what I say. It's an Ethernet connection. It's not Wi-Fi, right?
Right, right. Yeah, it's a cable.
Yeah.
It's not Wi-Fi.
But all right. Your extender, you just have an extender.
I don't have an extender, right?
Yes, you do. You have a box in the bedroom on the floor that you plug in to.
But that box is just it's not an extender. What it is, it's just like a connector.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge, yeah.
But it's not Wi-Fi. It's Ethernet.
Hey.
Yeah,
I got mad when people stopped calling them repeaters because I knew what I was talking about. The marketplace would not call them repeaters. They had to call them extenders. Hey, I got one other thing that I think you guys are going to think is awesome, where I think really is applicable to our lifestyle here. And Linda, you're always telling us about IPTV. All right, Eric. Sure.
I want to finish
all right. Well, what's the thought?
So
let's
now
finish
I'm
that.
Looking at the euro. Okay.
Okay.
Now, for my purpose, in my bedroom, I have an Ethernet connection with it, no matter how it's connected.
That's going to be a better connection than the euros.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because it's physically connected with a cable. As long as the cable isn't damaged, it's going to be a better connection.
Right.
Yeah.
But that box you have that you plug into is an extender.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, they just adapted it to extend your connection in the way back in the office to get in.
I really want to end our club with this topic. Not that topic. This topic. Okay. The one I'm looking at.
On the way.
Linda has told us many times about IPTV, and this is all running TV through the internet. Did you guys catch Amazon's product release announcement a couple weeks back? They have a box they have announced that should be available November 14th. They're calling it Fire TV Recast.
Fire
TV Recast. The Recast is a DVR for HDTV that is accessible from your devices, either in your home or across the internet. Now what this is a DVR you hook up to an HDTV antenna in an area that gets HDTV programming and allows you to use a guide to record programming or watch live TV streams from that area. Think about this for a moment. This is a TiVo. This is, what was the streaming box, Jim? The one where you had to have internet service and cable service on one side? So you could use it over here. The Mike uses it in his house.
Sling.
This is Amazon's version of a sling box specifically for HDTV. No monthly fees.
No monthly fees?
No monthly fees.
Until you use it.
This is what I think is amazing, is that a buddy of mine in Phoenix was just telling me, Scott, I am so sick of cable. I'm ready to get rid of cable. We only watch two channels, and we're paying a ridiculous... He's paying something like $100 a month for cable. This box starts at $229. Phoenix, an area like Phoenix, has a ridiculous number of HDTV channels. I mean, they've got dozens of HDTV channels out there in the air. This box has two tuners in it. You can hook up HDTV antennas. You use a computer, a tablet, a phone, or a Fire TV to administer this content. And you set on a guide what programs you want to have recorded, CBS, NBC, and it stores it. The $299 version has a 500 gigabyte hard drive. They're saying that's about 75 hours of TV. They're saying that you can attach to this device from the internet and watch those local programming in real time, or you can pick up your recorded shows. Linda, you're the one I want to have hear this. Have you paid any attention to this, Linda?
We're looking at it right here.
Okay.
Very, very interesting. But it says here that it does not work with cable or satellite.
It's only HDTV
antennas.
That's right.
And what is an HDTV antenna?
They're those little black.
So the example I was giving, as you guys were looking up, the example I was giving was Phoenix. Yeah. Phoenix has dozens of HDTV signals just out in the air, ready to be grabbed by an antenna.
Tucson does too.
That's what this box is for. You leave it in Phoenix. You hook it up with an HDTV antenna. You program all the shows that matter to you, and it just starts recording them. Later, wherever you are on the internet, you connect up to it, and you watch your shows.
But you can also... down here.
You have to program it from you have to program it from the United States?
Yeah.
No, you program it from your Amazon account.
Okay.
Yeah, and so far I haven't read anything that makes me feel like it wouldn't work here. It should work here.
So you can record everything in Prime in your Amazon.
It is yours, Linda. That antenna is yours. It's in your property, in your place that you are satisfying all.
US.
You're satisfying all FCC regulations.
In the U.S.
Right.
So you can set it up in Vegas.
That's right. You could set it up in Vegas.
New York City.
Now, keep in mind, I'm really excited about this. It doesn't come out till November 14th. So all of this is what they're talking about.
It's called Romeo.
Thanks.
Rome, like R-O-A-M-I-O. It says TiVo Romeo.
I think it's comparing to those services.
It is an interesting thing. Is it TiVo?
No, but it gives you a TiVo experience.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not TiVo. TiVo has a monthly service fee.
Yeah, TiVo, I signed up for Lifetime TiVo in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had it for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, TiVo also works best with a cable service or a satellite service. I mean, I guess you could use it with HDTV, but I haven't seen much about that.
Well, here it is. Irving's got it up here. It says TiVo, Romeo OTA, 1 terabyte DVR with no monthly service fees.
So there, you know what? As I was doing research for this topic, I ran across all these different players that are immediately changing the way of their business model because Amazon's about to announce this. I mean, they've announced that they're about to release this. TiVo, this is the first time TiVo has had a service without a monthly service fee. First time. I bet Slingbox will be next.
Okay, what does HDTV mean?
High definition TV.
So if I have HDTV like I'm supposed to have right now in my home,
discussion, we're talking about HDTV, over the air HDTV.
Yeah. Well, but I have it. I have three antennas on my roof.
With HDTV antennas?
No.
Well, I don't know, but I have HDTV. If there's an HDTV program, let's say...
You're talking about in Vegas?
No, here in Mexico. Well, I'm getting it from the United States.
So you're not hearing what I'm saying. And let me try again. HDTV is over the air. Like, you remember you changed from channel 12 to channel 11 on the TV and you'd pick up whatever was in your local area? Well, that's still going on, but now it's going on with HD signals. So they're over the air. They're just out there for anybody to watch for free. You just need an HDTV antenna.
Literally.
It has nothing to do with DirecTV.
Yeah.
Cable TV,
this is,
it's an
he's talking about each market, like Phoenix market or Tucson market.
Well,
or,
you know Becky that comes to Computer Club?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's was renting a condo with someone in Green Valley, and I went up there. She bought one of these HDTV antennas that goes on
mm-hmm.
the window.
Yeah.
Thing. She
it's
got,
awesome.
We got 15 channels.
It's awesome.
It came
and you always get Fox,
clear.
ABC,
yes.
CBS, NBC. You always get those channels.
Right.
They, because that's your local market, is
right.
those channels. And they're all being broadcast for free in HDTV, and all you need is an HDTV antenna.
Will they be challenged like the other ones are being challenged right now by the, you know, in the courts as far as legality?
No, that's actually, I mean, some of you might be thinking, well, of course they won't. But actually, that's a great question because Aereo was a service that they're comparing this to. And Aereo was a service where, as a business, they were buying HDTV antennas and renting space on buildings in markets like Las Vegas, L.A., New York.
And they were reselling it.
You would sign up for Aereo, and they would take your sign-up money and buy an HD antenna and put it up and say, now you have access to it. But what they were doing wrong is that they were allowing you access to any antenna. In their network, and they couldn't prove that they had oversold the antennas. For example, in modems and an internet service provider, we used to buy one modem for seven people because not all seven people are going to be connected at the same time, and that was totally acceptable. That FCC regulations, that you are violating FCC regulations if that's what you're doing with antennas. You can't timeshare a TV antenna. And that's where they got in trouble and their business shut down, is because they weren't located in the market of the person's residence. They couldn't prove that only one person to an antenna. And so they were shut down for that. Now, this satisfies both of those needs. This is your antenna. You own it. You administer it. Nobody else has access to it but you. It exists in your market.
Who would install it?
You would. You could hire somebody to put up an antenna for you if you needed to. But like Phoenix is a great example where you, like Linda would say, you just stick it in the window.
Yeah, she just put it right on the window.
Yeah.
And went into the TV.
And it brings in the signal right on it.
Right, and so this would bring it right into this box. This box is connected to your Wi-Fi network. And so then you're able to connect to it through the internet, either locally in your house or from anywhere else on the
network.
Like
a security system or something.
Well, yeah, the same manner. Yeah, the same kind of. Now, what this does, you pair this. See, Amazon is trying to be like Apple. You pair this with your Amazon products, your Amazon Fire TV. And so all that content is immediately laid out, beautified in an Amazon TV. Why would you buy anything other than a Fire TV? It's also available through their Fire TV apps, which you can buy for your iOS devices, your Apple devices, you download it for free. You can install it in your tablet or your phone, or they've got an Android version you can install in your Android devices. I have not seen where they said this Fire TV software is available for an Apple TV or any of the other, like an Xbox or any of that, but that may be coming as well.
But I'm wondering if it's going to work down here because you can't, it's very difficult to get Prime down here.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, I get Prime.
I get Prime.
I have no problem with
Prime. Oh, okay, you get Amazon
not,
Prime
yeah.
down here?
Yeah, on the tablet, it comes
yeah.
in perfect.
I mean, you're limited to the catalog that's available
in Mexico, correct.
But it's available here.
Okay, so they have it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering about this, though.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to...
See, this is... They're marketing this as you don't need anything. There's no monthly fee. What they want you to do is they want you to buy their Fire TV because it's going to work the best with that. And you can couple it with Alexa, with the Echo.
Yeah.
On the Fire TV so that you can do things like record NCIS this week. You can tell it. And it will... Right?
Yeah.
It's a very cool concept. And I think it's very cool for our situation, because I can imagine a number of us having a buddy in Phoenix that has your box and an HDTV antenna available to it. My friend in Phoenix, this is a perfect opportunity for him to get out of cable, because all he cares about is those 15 channels that are available locally.
And so is any market stronger than any other, like California, Nevada, Arizona, or...
For HDTV?
For quality of signal.
Yeah, I think you're going to find more like HDTV is ridiculous where I live in Alaska, because I live in a valley of the city. And cell phones don't work very good there. HDTV channels don't come in. You basically need cable to have any kind of take. But I could get one of these boxes. I could set it up at my friend's house, right? And he could bring in all the signals for me, and then I could just access it from my TV
set.
Okay,
so I'm out in the spit. You know where that is. Could I hang it in my window and receive a signal, you think?
You're talking about the Homer spit?
Yeah.
No, there's no HDTV signals out there, is there? There's probably two. There's probably two channels out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be the best place to use it.
Big city with lots of channels.
I mean, that's what you want.
What I'm saying is that I have it in Vegas, my antenna.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
then
I want to watch it in Homer's Spit.
So what you would need is a decent internet connection in Homer.
Which you don't have.
That's what you would need, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of places around Alaska are like going back in time 30 years.
I wonder if she'll be able to grade the pixels, you know what I mean? Like, not if you don't want to watch it in HD, if you want to watch it in a lower quality so you can stream it in a place like...
You know, both Amazon and Netflix do that automatically now. They look at the connection you have, and they stream to you the highest quality your connection can handle. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's going to be in this box, too. I think this is really intriguing. Now, there are a couple of things. For $220, these are on sale right now, so they're going to go up in price. But right now, basically $230, it's a 500 gigabyte drive with two tuners in it. What that means is you can watch something and you can record something at the same time. Or you can record two things at the same time. The 500 gigabytes in Amazon Talk translates to 75 hours of programming that you can record. For $50 more, for $280, you can get the 1 terabyte that has 4 tuners in it. You can record up to 4 things at one time. Or watch a stream and record 3, or watch two streams.
This is a must. So, I mean, this is actually, we have to get it. We can get rid of our DirecTV completely with this.
This is what I'm thinking, is that what the difference with this and the Slingbox is, you don't need TV service on the other end. You do need internet on the other end. But the Slingbox gets really expensive because you need cable or satellite plus a high-speed internet connection. You eliminate cable or satellite with this device.
I just want to give a warning, by the way, as far as we're on DirecTV.
Okay.
I had an incident here that upset me. Well, you know, we go back and forth to Alaska, Mexico, this and that. So they sent me these 5 boxes. We're supposed to... they're like satellite boxes. I forget what they call them. They're very small, and they work off one central receiver. And you put them all over, and they—you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not recognizing it as you're describing it.
So we got one of them, and we had to get it zapped, you know, to get the signal.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. Okay.
Here's the warning. According to them, when I had that zap, now I've been with them many, many years, of course. According to them, I automatically renewed my contract, and if I try to get rid of their contract, I have to pay 2 years of $20 a month. Unknown to me, with no, you know.
Some of these companies are like going back in time dealing with them.
Well, they're all crooked. They're all doing that. And that's so what I'm going to do now, I'm taking them out of auto pay, like I had to do with AT&T that brought me. And if I decide to get rid of them, I just won't pay them. Let them sue me. I don't need credit.
You just tell your credit card company or your bank that just file a complaint against them, and they'll take care of it. They'll deal with him directly.
You know, that's...
I had that kind of situation. They took care of it for me and canceled
that's
my contract.
That's good information.
And everything.
That's good information.
Yeah. It's good to inform the credit card company because they're the ones that are making credit decisions for how you stand as far as credit goes.
They got more power if they go in there and say, hey, you know, you're out of line and this is why, and they got their staff that are more experienced.
Well, anyway, that's a warning if you're doing anything with DirecTV.
Yeah, no, they got you. They got you. Yeah.
They're scrambling because of Amazon.
Well, since AT&T bought DirecTV, they're now a crooked company like AT&T is. DirecTV was not that way before they became one company, which is one of the bad things that's happening in our economy. You know, I love Trump and I love what he's doing, but this is like the worst thing. I do.
That's awesome, Irving. I'm going to clip that audio from this.
One of the bad things he's done is allowing these huge companies to screw us. He's allowing them to get too big. And they're becoming basically what they call it, where they control everything. The government used to sue them against this.
Monopolies, yeah.
So AT&T now is practically a monopoly.
Of course.
Again.
It's ironic because they're splitting up again.
Which is a horrible thing.
Hey, I want to mention just one more thing about this Fire TV recast. All of this is fairly speculation.
Unbelievable.
Fairly speculation because nobody's touched these products yet. They haven't been released yet. You can pair this device, needs to be paired with their software, either in their device or in a device you've installed the software with. It can be paired with an unlimited number of devices. Which means you can pair your grandkids' tablet with it if you want. You can pair your kids' tablet with it if you want. Your wife's tablet, whatever. Your Amazon, your Fire TV. In my case, maybe it's my parents' Fire TV. But the caveat is there can only be two sources streaming at any given time. So even though it's your box, you're not paying any service fee, you're in control of the whole service. There can only be two, and maybe that'll change in the future because we definitely have enough bandwidth nowadays that it's not constrained by bandwidth. So it's not a technical limitation. It's an administrative limitation that Amazon has put on it. And we might find that they've done that so that you're not overpowering the box they built, so that you continue to have this premium experience. The only way for you to have a premium experience is for you to not overdo it. And maybe that'll be lifted over time. So you can have as many devices as you want talking to this device, but you can only have two video streams going at any one time.
But it's still not available, correct?
Until November 14th.
Okay.
So you can only have two streaming going at one time.
That's right.
So
whether
that would be hard for you.
Somebody else makes
kids have all the TVs at the house.
But if you buy two of these, you might overcome them with three of those.
Well, you might. I don't know how that. I mean, I've played with that in my mind. Well, what if I just buy two of these devices, right?
Yeah.
Can I have them both associated with the same Amazon account? Do I have access to both sets of content? See, I know the way Amazon works.
Set up two Amazon accounts, one for you and one for your wife.
You could. That would be an easy solution around it. What I was going to say is, I'm very in tune with the way Amazon does things, and I would bet they haven't even thought about that problem yet. I bet they haven't even thought about you having two devices and how to access both of them with the same device. But the solution would be two different Amazon accounts, two different devices associated.
Okay, so you're going to buy this. You're going to have to buy an HD antenna.
Yes.
Okay, one of the HD antennas.
For that area.
So that's another $30.
Do you know,
HD antennas are about $30.
You want to hear something scree? In Phoenix, my buddy has a TV set that has a built-in HDTV tuner, which most screens do now. You can't buy anything that doesn't have one built in.
Right.
He's got rabbit ears connected to it. I'm like, how does that work? He's like, it works. The HDTV signals are so strong in this area, I don't need anything but rabbit ears to pull them in. So he doesn't even have the HDTV, the official HDTV antenna, hooked to his set. He has rabbit ears hooked to his set.
See, that's a problem down here for us. If you really look at it, you're really not getting an HD signal.
There is no HD signals
so
down here.
That could be a problem.
There might be HD signals in places like Mexico City or Guadalajara, but there are not in Guaymas.
I noticed that, you know, on my little box, IPTV box, okay, they brought in the HD channels, so they're all listed, and I started trying to go to the different HD channels, and they don't come in well, they freeze out too much.
My understanding from Shavo is I have HDTV.
Sure.
That's the reason I have three antennas instead of one.
Right, but you're doing it through DirecTV. You're not doing it over the air or local broadcast.
Over the air.
Yeah. Okay. It's this local broadcast thing. It is... See, like most people, when we switch to HD, you know, in the United States, they can't broadcast anything but HD now. It has to be digital over-the-air signals. That's FCC now. With the exception of the border states, because there are so many people, their market, it's so bizarre, like in Arizona, in Texas, in California, so much of the advertising of the border broadcasters are to the Latin American market on the other side of the border that do not have HDTVs. They were able to get an exemption from the federal government to continue to broadcast analog signals. Otherwise, they would lose on their advertising market share. Their advertisers would have no reason to advertise with them, so they would have no way of making money because the advertisers are targeting the Latinas on the other side of the border. So they're the only ones with it. Everywhere else in the United States, it's HD only.
But I'm confused. They're really going to mind block on this.
That's okay.
If it's coming in on the satellite, DirecTV, that's in the air, no?
That's microwave, not radio wave.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's satellite technology through a satellite service.
That's the antenna.
Right.
We're stealing the signal.
Well, we're not that's even stealing it because it's free.
You see what
that's
I'm
the
saying?
Point.
On the new thing.
The HDTV over the air is just...
But you're stealing the signal. It isn't legal down here. What you're doing is illegal down here.
That's not what I've told them.
Well, it's a breach of terms of service. Legality's questionable.
Well, I told them I've been here. I don't like to do things like that. So I told them I'm here. I told them I traveled to Mexico. And they say it's fine. They never objected. They know they're zapping me in Mexico and everything.
Well, I think in places like Los Angeles or Las Vegas or Phoenix or Seattle, those kinds of places have an abundance of HDTV signals that you'd be taking advantage of if you were spending time in those areas. This is a way to do it. This is a way to take advantage of that while living down here. I think this is an awesome product. I think this is going to turn into a killer app for San Carlos. Not only that, you could just... Yeah, I mean, you basically leave it where you live. You leave it wherever your main house is, or you leave it with a buddy, or you leave it with an uncle, or you leave it with a kid.
And I have one in Alaska.
They're going to be selling them. Like your friend in New York. Don't you get the friend in New York?
Yeah.
He'll be able to sell the other.
Well, that's the thing. I could on Amazon, I could order one and send it to him and say, hook
that's
this
what
up.
I'm saying. That's
right.
What I'm saying. But he'll be able to sell the other, you know what I mean, the other stream.
Oh,
you're only allowed with two streams, but he'll be able to sell the other stream to somebody down here.
No, it will. The way to think about it, Linda, is it will only work with the Fire TV application.
I'm sure New York.
So that app has to be installed in an Android, in an Apple, or it needs to be in an actual Fire TV.
Well, that's why I asked you about Perfect Player and putting IPTV into the Apple box.
Apple
service and technology. Those little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst thing I've
ever seen. Each one is going to one station.
But anyway.
I don't think an Apple TV is a good... It's not a good fit except for very specific things. I don't think it's a very good fit for San Carlos in general. I think those generic Android TVs that, like, Jim and I have been playing around with, those ones from China, I think those are a much better fit for around here when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, I could download the Fire TV app into my Android TV... And I would be able to take advantage of this box we're talking about. Yeah. But a Fire Stick, like so many people are using right now for the Radiosity.
That's what I've got.
So that Fire Stick would work just fine for this. You mentioned selling the other stream. Actually, you can't because it's associated with your Amazon account. For somebody else to use that other stream, they have to have access to your Amazon account.
Okay, so.
So you'd have to set up an account with, basically.
Yeah, it'd have to be some generic account that you're not worried about securities on. And you have to have a payment method on there anyway, because it's Amazon. So they've done a good job of getting it all kind of locked into a good package that can't get out of control at the moment.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have high hopes for it around
sounds
here.
Sounds like the future.
Because you're not going to trust them.
I guess they couldn't control that publicity over how much they're paying people, so they started...
Well, the fact is the competition came in. IPTV, they can't stop them, evidently, because they're sending it from other countries and all this other stuff.
Well, this is a direct shot at TiVo.
DirecTV is going to go to those IPTV boxes.
Right.
I read.
Yeah.
The little box that we have IPTV.
That's right. DirecTV
is
going to switch to all online. They're going to be more like Netflix than they are DirecTV.
That'll do away with satellites.
Shorted.
Right. That's going to do away with satellites.
Now this is an amazing offering, because you buy one of these boxes and you already own Prime because you're an American. You have Prime. Everybody has Prime.
No,
so you.
Some people don't want to pay the $100 fee.
Well, I mean, I'm generalizing, but still, and it's even cheaper in Mexico. Prime in Mexico is less than $50.
Really?
$50, but it doesn't work too well.
I've been very satisfied with it, yeah.
The signal works well, but the delivery service doesn't.
And what I found, I came back to find that almost the exact same catalog of content from Prime in the States is available here on the Mexican catalog. Yeah.
I need to recheck that, because it's been a while since.
Well, you know, the Netflix down here is
that's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, you can almost not even tell the difference now with the Netflix.
If you've got Netflix Prime and this device in some local area in the States, I think you've done it. You've got your news, you've got your local channels, you've got your movies and your TV shows. Everything's covered.
Yes, we have Netflix, and then we have the IPTV box. It's got all the movies. Like, every week the movies come out. It's got the latest movies that are in the movie theater on the box.
I can't wait to try one of these devices. I hope it lives up to its hype. In classic Amazon fashion, it won't, but it will. It just won't. On November 14th, it won't. And probably by Christmas, it will be getting close to it. But I bet by next summer, this thing's going to be totally dialed in.
By Super Bowl, right?
Well, and you saw what they did with Prime in Mexico? You can get the NFL right through Prime in Mexico.
I did not.
Yeah, so like you got all these guys that used the bootleg satellite signals, or they're bootlegging it off the internet. Well, Amazon cut a deal with the NFL to release it on Prime, and now you just pay $50 for your yearly membership, and you've got access to all the NFL games.
I think for me is I don't know if I want to start watching TV again. I mean, it's a personal thing.
So do you do these meetings every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday at 9:15.
Yeah, and we'll say Bitcoin. Say Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
I told him, I said, sometimes I get on Bitcoin. I said,
we can talk about Bitcoin quite a bit. We could actually keep talking because we haven't talked in months. But we got to shut it down. We're about 20 minutes over our normal ending time. And our normal ending time is always 20 minutes over. But we will meet again next Tuesday. And I have got topics for next Tuesday. We didn't get a chance to talk about LastPass, which I did finally get into. And I told people in the club I would spend some time with LastPass and making that, letting people know what my experience was using a password manager for all my passwords. I've been using Android Auto, which is an awesome system for using your Android phone in a car. And making it easy to do maps and music and podcasts and telephone calls and all that in a car. We still didn't talk about it. There's a walkie-talkie on the Apple Watch where you can press a button and have walkie-talkie conversations with other Apple Watches. We didn't even get into more details about the Apple Watch. And California is about to get sued for their own net neutrality laws when the federal government disbanded the regulations. California put together their own regulations, and now Trump and the DOJ is coming after them, saying putting together their own regulations is illegal. So that'll be an interesting topic to watch and talk about. But now I'm going to shut this whole thing down. So thank you for being... Okay.
It's very good.
Thank you. And it's Robert, right?
Yeah.
Good to meet you, Robert. You're welcome back. Everybody's welcome at the San Carlos Computer Club.
Does it matter what your political affiliation?
It does not matter.
See, it's on, Robert.
All right.
Come in a red hat. You will be on film.
I'm really apolitical. I'm American, and I hope things go
well. Yeah, well, especially with the new NAFTA. It sounds promising.
Not so if you read the Mexican newspaper.
You got optical. We don't have in the country club.
So this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And if you have computer issues in this country or any country on the internet, I would appreciate you getting a hold of me, either remotely or come by our office. You can reach us through internationalcs.net or the San Carlos Computer Club. You can reach at sccclub.org. We make recordings of this, and we post them for posterity. You can find us on YouTube. You can listen to us live every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. What am I forgetting? We're at Tequila's in San Carlos. They don't pay me anything to advertise, but they're an awesome place. They give us free Wi-Fi, and they give us great table service, and they're happy to have us every week. So if you're in San Carlos, even if it's not a Tuesday, come by Tequila's. You'll get good food and good service from good people. I guess that's it. I tech on. We're done. We'll turn that off. Turn that off.
And we'll Scott, I have another question.
Turn that off. Stop recording.